is Take Charge of Your Health with Corrine Frenari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Well, welcome back. Welcome back. We're in for a very interesting show today. I'm here with my co-host,
Carol Peterson.
Hi, Carol. Whoa.
Hi, Corrine.
We're in for a deep dive. And what we really have been thinking about and what Carol has been studying for years is the relationship of our hormones to our body, to our health, to our minds, to our fertility, all the way across the board, with over 700,000 hysterectomies and the majority of them due to excessive bleeding a year. I think that some of our well-held paradigms on hormones have to be looked at because there is a strong possibility and probability that these could be avoided with the correct treatment. And that treatment would be balancing hormones. What do you think, Carol?
Well, there's a lot to this. It's not quite so simple, and therein lies the rub. We have a whole set of conventional doctors who don't have a clue, and yeah, they think somebody else should do it, like the general practitioners, internists think the endocrinologists should do it, the endocrinologists think they should manage diabetes. They really don't understand sex, adrenal, thyroid, pituitary hormones, unless you have some really severe unusual disorder. Yeah. So where do you go? Then we have cadres and cadres of functional medicine trained people, and some of their training is awry. And that was one of the things I did address with a medical group I talked to last Monday. So I had the opportunity to do a lecture. And this is one of the key points of that lecture is the misuse of bioidentical hormones leading to even more stress and more disappointed people. And you know what? You know how I found this out? I went to Facebook.
What's that?
Facebook. Okay. People are so desperate. They form groups on Facebook to try to find answers because they have gone to doctor after doctor after doctor. Now, for the most
part, they're not getting the attention or the focus that they need to deal with the problem.
Right. For the most part, I think this is really good and really healthy that people are reaching out to each other and trying to problem solve together. And they are doing a great deal of work to bring in things they research and put it there. And I would hands down say some of the people who run Facebook groups or are intimately involved in the Facebook groups, they have a lot more knowledge about hormones than your average physician because they are committed and they do a good job. Now, having said that,
they also have the time to listen. You know, if you're listening, if you're a practitioner of all types of medical arts, it takes time. I remember, who was it that said, was it Leo Gallen that said, if you listen long enough, the patient will tell you exactly what's wrong?
I think you overcredit Leo. I think it was older than that, like Hippocrates or somebody. I don't know. Well, maybe not Hippocrates. Leo, somebody in between.
Yeah, Leo repeated it to me. And that's true. But what's happening is the symptoms of hormone imbalance, it's not disease yet, but it can be. It can go into a surgery where you lose your organs, but it's not disease yet. But the symptoms are so varied and so broad that it's very difficult for a practitioner to sit there, listen, and then create a hypothesis out of this. It's difficult. So it takes someone who really understands this syndrome, this problem, and has the time to listen, which most medical practitioners do not have.
No. And what I specifically zeroed in on is this concept of estrogen dominance. And I'm writing a blog right now. My title is The Specter of Estrogen Dominance. Because when it was first defined, this was not a medical term. Dr. John Lee described it. He said your estrogen's too high, too low, or normal, but its relationship to progesterone is excessive. So your progesterone could be even lower than your low estrogen. You'd still have this imbalance. And as a working model, it sort of helps. This applies to men and women, both. We all have issues with estrogen, and I can go into a few reasons why we're having so many problems with estrogen, because on top of our own declining production as we age, progesterone, the natural balancer of estrogen, declines first, so we are already running into hot flashes, night sweats, sleep problems. We've been told it's estrogen going down, but this is a time in a woman's life cycle that she has the highest estrogen of her whole lifetime. So yeah. It's really, really not estrogen.
That's very interesting. And how are they monitoring that? And I'm going to throw out something that'll just put a whammy in the whole discussion. Are they measuring that increase in serum, in saliva, in urine? What is the way that's measuring that rise?
They could be in any of those mediums. The trouble with estradiol, particularly as you get into the perimenopause years, one moment it could be low, next moment it could be too high. And there are no good tests to tell you what is happening in the tissue. When we measure the blood, we know what's in the blood. When we measure the saliva, we know what's in the saliva. When we measure urine, we know what's in the urine.
But we don't know what's in the tissue.
Right. We make assumptions that those numbers that we get are somehow tied into the body burden of estrogen. Then confounding that is we have many molecules that we are subjected to that have estrogen-type activity. And these are not getting measured on the tests at all because, of course, you're not measuring it. So one is glyphosate. So glyphosate is attracted to the estrogen receptors alpha, and this receptor is the most active. It's the most in charge of growth, excess stimulation in endometrium, excess estrogen activity in the breast, exactly what you don't want. So we are being inundated. We're literally being dusted with glyphosate all the time. This is a weed killer. It's supposed to make it easier to harvest crops or to keep the weeds down while the crops are growing. And this is a terrible solution because they thought this would go through a pathway that only took care of plants and stuff, but our own microbiome is affected by this. Now, the microbiome is another picture. We have organisms in our body that can manufacture estradiol when it's out of whack. There's some fungus that can do it. Candida is an issue, can actually manufacture hormones. And then we have the issue where our body, our liver has happily conjugated it. It's grabbed onto an estrogen, put a sulfur group on it or a methyl group, and turned it over into your colon for excretion.
But then we don't excrete.
Right.
The enzymes are breaking it apart again.
That's right. Beta-glucuronidase.
And we're recycling and recycling our hormones that our body wanted to excrete. And that's a very important piece right there, is how do you balance all of this when your whole excretion mechanism, natural balancing mechanism, is being interfered with. So hormones.
Let's hold the bolt here. We want people to call in and join this discussion.
Oh, that's
good. Can we give them phone number?
I'll give it to them right now. I was looking at the time. Yes, this is an important conversation. We would love people who are experiencing PMS to call, or who are going through menopausal changes to call, or males to call and finding out what's happening with them. And is this an important topic for them? We'd like all of you to call, and we'll do the best we can to answer your questions. The number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Please give us a call. Join the conversation. This is the conversation for all of us and how to create a different level of balance. So, Carol, if we're not feeling well, should we just go in? This is a rhetorical question. Should we just go in and get our hormones checked, or is it a broader test than just estrogen, testosterone, progesterone?
Oh, you opened my door wide.
I'm a softball.
So wide. Anyhow, in my mind, I put this together like a hierarchy of hormones when you're looking for hormone issues. And of course, this is subject to being edited at some future date as more information rolls in. But I think insulin, glucose, and how much we have talked about insulin resistance on this show over and over and over again, but the problem is huge, has a huge impact on your sex and adrenal hormones. Then my second most important hormone set are the adrenal hormones. Third, thyroid. You can't do anything with thyroid unless you have good adrenal support.
Exactly.
And finally, sex hormones. So most of the time we go, oh, I think I'm having trouble with my sex hormones. I'll just measure estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. And what do you know? You don't know very much because
you can't balance them that way.
Right, right. If your problem really stems from insulin and glucose and you haven't addressed that, doing hormone support is not going to do you much good. I had a colleague tell me about one of her clients had a continuous glucose monitor. And what her patients reported back to her was when she experienced a hot flash, her glucose dropped to 50.
So that's one of the reasons why she was feeling lightheaded and anxious, because her body wasn't used to that level.
Right. Well, what's going to happen when your blood sugar drops to 50? Just to put this in perspective, like if you were doing fasting, glucose, a good level might be 65 to 80. You go up nicely when you eat, maybe 120 or so. You get much higher when you have insulin resistance, but this is a normal. So you abnormally just drop. So what happens? Your adrenaline kicks in, and swoops in to try to bring your blood sugar up. But what does adrenaline do? It makes your heart pound. It makes your pulse race. It makes you feel anxious and angry and irritable. And you can't sleep. But it also likely is giving you that hot flush. That vasomotor instability is probably very much connected to the adrenals and connected to the insulin glucose.
And also, when you're, I remember Dr. Serafina Curcello used to say this all the time. She used to say that progesterone is the mother of all hormones. It's the donor hormone. So what happens is when the cortisol is going high, it's very possible you're having an imbalance in progesterone. So what happens is not only is it an acute problem, it could be setting the stage for a long-term problem or a more sustained problem.
Certainly could. So you have a problem with, okay, you're trying to make more hydrocortisone. We've talked about hydrocortisone on the show before. It's a lovely hormone. It helps you deal with stress. It is anti-inflammatory. It keeps you from being reactive to everything. Even they have identified those people suffering with long COVID or post-COVID stuff and post-jab stuff. There was a study published to demonstrate that hydrocortisone was way down in these patients. And in fact, there are some protocols that include, if not hydrocortisone, some of them did, they would include a synthetic hydrocortisone analog. I really prefer the hydrocortisone. So this is published, and sometimes people, men and women, will have such a drain on their adrenals that their hydrocortisone is down to flatness. Now, if you want to know what that feels like, think of the flu. Think of overwhelming fatigue. Think about muscle aches and pains. When you get the flu, that also happens. Your hydrocortisone dips radically. And what can help you if you get the flu? Forget the flu shot. Just a little bit of hydrocortisone will pull you right out of it in an hour or so if you take enough. And where can you find hydrocortisone? Every pharmacy in the city will have some. So grab yourself right, right.
Very available.
Very available. So have yourself a tube of that on standby for this exact thing. When you are feeling the symptoms of a flu coming on, you know your adrenals are whacked, and hydrocortisone is the hormone that's really whacked, and you can easily support that and make a huge difference and have your illness last a day instead of weeks, as we end up having. Or people often get a flu and they never recover. Why haven't they recovered? Because their adrenals haven't recovered. It's a symptom of low adrenal hormones. So, and then if you're having hot flashes and having vaginal dryness at the same time, it's all exacerbated and all in the same hormone stew. But if you just look at a little piece of things, you don't get the whole story.
How about, let's go back to estrogen dominance. I see multiple women who come in and say they're estrogen dominant, and you see that they've been on birth control pills or estrogen for years, 10 years, whatever, and so their hormone balance is totally out of whack. Are they estrogen dominant or are they progesterone deficient? Because what we're talking about is ratios and balances. And there's something also that I want you to get to that's really important, is the difference in measuring estrogen and progesterone and why those numbers look so wacky when we get them on the blood tests.
Oh, yeah. Or you have little charts. Some of you may have seen charts that show the menstrual cycle. You get a rise in estradiol in the first half, then you have ovulation, nice peak there. And then you get another rise of estradiol in the luteal phase, second half of the cycle. And then progesterone looks like it's flatlined in the first part.
Exactly.
Way down there. And then you get a nice surge after ovulation. And that's come from the corpus luteum produced by the ovaries. However, they do these charts up and they leave out one important fact, is that the measurement for the estrogens in this chart are in picograms, and then the progesterone's in nanograms. And they do that so it fits on the same page. But in your mind, if you have seen this chart before, you must increase the progesterone line, those progesterone levels, 1,000 times. So that number that's flatlining on your little chart in the first part of the cycle, that progesterone is coming from your adrenal glands. And it's far beyond the amount of estrogen, which is going to be, if they were in the same units, it would be estrogen maybe in the area of, let's say, 100 to 300 picograms per mil. At the same time, progesterone is going to be 1 to 3 nanograms. So that's 1,000 to 3,000. Society in general.
That's quite a big difference.
Sometimes your doctor doesn't have a clue because they haven't really paid attention to what that menstrual cycle chart is really, really telling you. So we have this weird thing in our society that we think estrogen's the thing. Well, we think it's the thing for women. And it is important for women, and it's a potent hormone. However, progesterone is so much more needed than the estrogen, yet we're always giving back estrogen, often inappropriately. You do a hysterectomy because you've had too much estrogen, you're bleeding, and you've got fibroids, and you've got cysts. And then after the hysterectomy, what do? We pop you on more estrogen. And what are we going to do? Next, it's going to be the breast. Are we going to lop that off too? It's insanity. Just insanity going on. The progesterone was missing the whole time.
And exactly. People aren't sleeping. They're anxious. I used to have a psychiatrist, who would refer all his menopausal, premenopausal, postmenopausal women to me. He said, because once their hormones are balanced, they hold. We make a revelation and they can hold it. Whereas when their hormones aren't balanced, they can't hold because their physiology really doesn't allow them to, because it's bouncing them around like a ping pong ball. So I'm going to give the number again, 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Give us a call. Let us know. Let us know your experience with this. So, Carol, let's discuss how you would approach a patient with these problems.
Okay, it's a big deal. But right now, my favorite testing. If you are experiencing symptoms, and let's say you're a PMSer, or let's say you have infertility, or you're in the menopause transition someplace, I like to do a serum panel that gives me sex hormones, adrenal hormones, pituitary hormones, thyroid hormones, complete panel, insulin, glucose, inflammatory markers, blood differential, blood chemistry, because there are hints from other relationships, like in your chemistry or inflammation. For example, we can test for homocysteine as an inflammatory marker, but homocysteine's all involved in methylation. We know that homocysteine can cause damage to our blood vessels, and that indeed is probably closer to the cause of plaque than cholesterol ever was. Cholesterol helps patch it, but there's very little cholesterol in those plaques, believe it or not. Anyway, it's mostly fibrin, blood clots, because it created a hole, and now you've got to patch it up. So you do the same thing that happens when you cut your skin. You have the bleeding stops, and you have like a scab, and eventually your body reabsorbs that fibrin. Well, in your blood vessels, sometimes you get to a point where your body's not doing that so well, and you lay down plaque after plaque after plaque, which is fibrin. There's multiple blood clots going on and other inflammatory markers. So the homocysteine may have been the provocateur in the first place, damaging and poking holes in your blood vessels. And so we do measure it. There's a body of work that says that you can keep your homocysteine levels down if you methylate that homocysteine. And that means you add a carbon group, carbon and hydrogens, to that homocysteine. It moves it down to safer molecules. Guess what else we methylate? We methylate estrogen. Guess what else we methylate? We methylate adrenaline. So if you have a comprehensive blood test and you have something like homocysteine, you have a clue how well you're conjugating with a methyl group and detoxifying the body from estrogen and adrenaline. A major clue in my mind, I just went to a conference and there was a big discussion, like, is homocysteine measure a good enough measure, or should we do the genetic workup? Because we've also got a series, I think there are three genes that they're looking at for methylation defects in the human population. And they are saying something like 40% of the population does have a slower methylation process. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've talked about that too. So I want to know about methylation. It's an important thing going on here. And then you've heard of mast cell activation syndrome, right?
That's definitely without a doubt. But let's bring it to the audience. What we're talking about is like allergic reactions, hives and itching and seasonal allergies and reactions. That's mast cell activation.
That's absolutely right. And it means that your mast cells have released a hormone called histamine. And it's histamine that sets up all this burning and itching and whatnot. Well, I got to hearing about mast cell activation syndrome. Suddenly it became the thing people were talking about. So I like to go have a look in the literature when something like this comes in and see if there's a hormone connection. And to my amazement... To my amazement, there's an entire hormone factory going on in that little mast cell.
It's got a very unique name. It's when we're looking at hormones, we're looking at endocrine system. When we're looking at how hormones affect the inner cell, it's an endocrine. It's an endocrine reaction. It's
inside the cell. So you don't need any ovaries or testes or adrenal glands for your hormone factory inside a mast cell. And guess what else? When does that mast cell let go of its histamine? It will do it when it's got more estrogen than progesterone. So that makes progesterone and a histamine.
It can even do it when it's got... estrogen mimickers, like high glyphosates, can create that reaction. But what balances that reaction? We'll say that, and then we've got a caller.
Yeah.
So what balances that reaction? Oh, Carol's favorite hormone, progesterone. Progesterone balances that reaction and slow down, if not completely block, that histamine reaction. So it's very good to use progesterone when we're dealing with allergies and allergy reactions and hives and plaques. So we have a caller. And I just want to say hi. Your name, please. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Now I can, but you need to speak a little louder, please.
Right.
And your name?
Ronald.
Hello, Ronald.
Hello. About a month or so ago, I was able to speak with you regarding chronic fatigue syndrome, and you mentioned hydrocortisone. I have used it occasionally when I've had itching on my feet or my legs.
Uh-huh.
And I have had chronic fatigue syndrome since the 1980s. And I hope in the future you will consider doing some shows specifically about chronic fatigue. I know you also suggested when I spoke with you that I use a flashlight in my eyes in the morning. Could you just clarify a few other things regarding chronic fatigue, if you don't mind?
Well, right now, although all of what we're speaking about is very pertinent to chronic fatigue, because your ability to heal from these syndromes that you're experiencing can be very directly related to hormone imbalance. You got it, you got over it, but then it just continually carries on. Your adrenals never healed after that. Your whole body is hormonally imbalanced. So listening to this discussion that we're having right here with myself and Carol could be one of the best things you can do. We're not directly relating to chronic fatigue, but this directly relates to all maladies, all infirmities that just seem to be chronic and nobody's able to deal with them because they're not appropriately looking at hormone balance. So, Ron, I want to thank you so much for your call. Please continue listening. There might be something very important for you. Carol?
We have another caller.
Okay. Did you want to answer that at all?
No, that's good.
Okay. Hi. You're live. Your name, please.
Daryl McPherson, Bronx, New York. Thank you.
Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Daryl.
I wish I was. However, actually, the right hormone, you know. Is there a study guide or a course that one can take to familiarize yourselves with hormones, the interactions? And the reason I'm asking, well, first of all, may I address your audience, the rest of your audience, for just one quick comment?
This actually, it's a question, so go on, but let us see.
It's folks, we need to have these people on because they're explaining something that when you approach iatrogenic doctors, their faces fog, and they don't have a clue what Corrine and Carol are talking about. So we have to arm ourselves with information, and that's why the importance of WBAI. So could we get
$500
just for the show, please? Now, back to the question of hormones. I'm a male. I'm 74 years old, and I'm sure things are going on. However, I'm critically affected during the full moon cycle, and I just was wondering whether, because a lot of the symptoms that you're talking about, in someone in my family is experiencing at any
time of the month.
I just had a cousin who went in for fibroids, went into the hospital for fibroids, and I know that they failed to tell her what she needs to hear around hormone balancing and looking for clues. So is there anything out there that we can go to, like YouTube or something, or are you developing a premium for WBAI that we can go
We would love to. We have
the complete guide to hormones. You know, Daryl, I've been doing this over 30 years. And like 24/7. And this is my passion. And I'm delighted day after day. There's something new I learn. And it's gotten so there's hundreds of books written on menopause, for instance. And now if I get one, there's a lot of repetition. Maybe I'll find a pearl. It's really, really difficult to put this all together. And the lecture I did the other day that we're basing this talk on, it is posted. It's going to be posted on my website. It's posted on my Facebook page, the Wellness by Design Project. No, sorry. I think it's there. Not yet, but it's on YouTube, the Wellness by Design Project. Corinne's going to be putting it on her Facebook page. What is that, Corinne? And YouTube?
At YouTube, Take Charge of Your Health Radio.
Okay, so we're going to be posting this, and you may want to listen to it because I go into detail about these myriad other things that you have to look at. And the more complicated and the more sick a patient is, the more they lose out because the conventional doctors cannot put together, they can't put together, let's say, the histamine thing and anxiety in a perimenopausal woman. They just don't have that connection. It's not how they were trained. And it's taken me a good time, and I don't know of a single source that would be the best to direct you to. But having said that, there's many books written that do give you clues. And you can go to PubMed.gov and ask it a question. Like, that's how I found, is there a hormone facet of MCAS? Are the sex hormones involved with histamine?
And activation. That's activation.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You can find this, and it just is dazzling to me. So the more you look, the more you learn. But it's essential.
We've got three other callers.
Oh my!
Follow Carol's and my blogs and our websites and even our Facebook pages. We'll be getting an outline that is very unique. A lot of the information we're sharing here, Carol was teaching doctors because they don't understand this. They don't really have a clue at this point. I've been working with this for quite a few years also, but actually 25 and working directly with patients rather than working with research. And so this is a lot of what you're hearing is new, but it's also based on clinical history. So thank you so much for your call. We've got another listener. Please, I know this is taking a little time, but we want to take your time with each call. So keep holding on, and we'll get to you. So hi, you're on live. Hello? Could you speak up? Well, I guess.
All right, fine. No. We'll go to the next caller.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Reggie.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. We need you to speak up, please.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Can you hear us?
Hello.
Hello.
Caller, continue, please.
Hello.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes, perfectly.
Okay. You're very low.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll speak up. Is that better? Okay, so what is your question? Because we can hear you perfectly.
Okay, what it is my daughter...
Go ahead.
My daughter... going definitely through, she's 53 now, and going through hormonal changes. All I would like to know is, One, is there, and Carol, I don't know your last name, Carol or Corrine, is there a telephone number that she can call, an office number, because she would like to make an appointment?
Okay, well, we'll refer you to our websites. Mine is
okay.
Is the Wellness by Design Project. The Wellness by Design Project will have my email and phone number and opportunity to make an appointment. And Corrine has the same thing. Corrine, what's your web page?
CorrineHealth.com, and both, and has my phone number and a way to make an appointment with both of either of us. So give us a look on the Yeah. CorrineHealth.com. So we're going to go to the next caller. Hello?
That caller dropped out.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Let's continue talking. You know, Carol, many people listening to this might think this is only for women. But yet I had a patient with prostate hypertrophy. And what I did was I got a high dose progesterone, 200 milligram, and I had them drop Lugol solution, and it was a cream, and mix it in there. And I had them rub that on the perineum every night before bed. And the end result was that it was reduced nocturia, nighttime urination, and eventually, also with dietary changes, because drinking sodas and eating sugars and lots of wheat does not work for inflammatory conditions, we had some visible and measurable changes, and the symptoms reduce. How does all that fit together?
Isn't that lovely?
I was happy. So were they.
I was reading this book on menopause by an OBGYN, happened to be located in Canada, and she was like making me crazy because she was like male bashing at every go, like only women have problems with hormones.
Oh, and my goodness.
It's terrible because the fate for a man as they're aging is just as bad as women having issues with hormones. And what you brought up there is something they attribute some of this prostate enlargement, maybe insulin glucose here. I would throw that into the pot. You
exactly.
Mentioned get rid of the junk food, but estrogen driven a little bit, maybe they attribute some of it to DHT, dihydrotestosterone, active testosterone, progesterone, and testosterone get metabolized by the same enzyme, 5-alpha reductase. Now, if you don't have enough progesterone and you're a man, you're going to have more of your testosterone being affected by that enzyme because you don't have enough progesterone to be using it. So the thing to do is put the progesterone back in to get some balance. And that's exactly what you're doing. And lo and behold, we have some drugs, finasteride, Propecia. They're giving men this drug, and it's full of side effects, including loss of sexual interest, loss of sexual ability, and depression, and even suicides. And what is it? This drug, go ahead and look it up on Wikipedia and look at the structure. Look at progesterone structure and look at Propecia. They've knocked around a few nitrogen molecules into that progesterone molecule, and they made a drug out of it. And they're trying to sell you this drug to do what progesterone normally and naturally does in a male body. So I'm so glad you're doing that for men. They shouldn't be suffering. They shouldn't have, you know, we're talking about women waking up with hot sweats and night sweats and not getting enough sleep. Well, men are up all the time because of that enlarged prostate. They're not getting good sleep either.
And they're not having complete release of their urine, but we have another caller. And we'll have After we speak with this caller, we'll have a little more time. The number is 212-209-2877 in case you want to call in. Hello?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Your name, please?
Hi, my name is Laura. Perfectly.
Go on.
And my question is, how much hydrocortisone should we put on us if we feel aches and pains and the flu coming on?
Okay, I'll answer that. Get that tube of hydrocortisone out, and for
you can
your
get
first
it at Costco, even you can get five.
Yes, no, but
tubes.
How much?
Okay,
how much can we apply, right, and where?
Put a teaspoonful on wherever you have skin. I don't care where. Just put it on your skin. It goes through the skin into your bloodstream. And then see how you feel in about 15 minutes. Then if you need more, maybe your next dose can be a little smaller, half a teaspoon more. And then ultimately you can end up with like a quarter teaspoon dose. Maybe do that every 6 hours for a day, and that's probably all you're going to need.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's interesting because what chronic fatigue, when people really had not a clue what was happening, the two treatments that they gave was salt tablets and hydrocortisone. That's the only thing that they were able to give to build people up at that time in the beginning. And that was the only thing people responded to. Very interesting.
What's old is new and new is old.
Definitely. So there's more, Carol. Carol, there's something else. Now, I've been told, and we were always told, that you have to, well, first of all, we know that absorptions are different, and it's different according to the pharmacy. I've had people say, well, my pharmacy said they will make up hormone creams for me. And they're very stable, so they go to their pharmacy and they have them make it up. They make it up with Vaseline or a very thick, viscous cream. And the end result is they don't feel well because it's just not being absorbed. But at the same time, so I'm going to throw out two questions at once. The same time, what we have is that we were told that you have to rotate your sites because you're going to saturate the receptors in that area. And when you saturate the receptors, you can't absorb anymore. So, what do you think, Carol? I threw out two big questions.
I did this lecture once. I called it Urban Myths About Hormones. And that concept actually came from Dr. John Lee without any substantiation. He had very important instructions on how to apply your cream, do rotate like one shoulder, then the next shoulder, and then the next hip, and never do it in the same place twice. But there's no evidence that and that fat cells underneath the skin are storing this. There's no evidence for this particularly, and no evidence for storage for long periods of time in your skin. If you need progesterone, you don't use it, you become symptomatic pretty quickly. So that you don't have an innate storage system like that. And what really happens in a cream, the hormone has to get through the skin barrier in order to get into your bloodstream. And then it's going around your body everywhere else. So getting through the skin barrier is an issue. And not all creams facilitate that. There have been studies, they actually have it's some kind of coefficient, I forgot the first part of the term, where they can analyze how well something leaves a cream and enters your body and gets absorbed with your skin oils involved. And this partitioning really is like one cream is not equal to the next to the next to the next. I think that was your point, and that's really true. And then you have the case of people who have low thyroid.
Exactly.
Their skin is cold and it's dry, and you need the skin oils to help. Mm-hmm. And you need the circulation to the skin to be there. So maybe a technique to overcome that would be like right after a hot shower or bath where you get warmer, your skin surface is warmer. So if you apply it then, you're going to get more. Yes?
We've got just a couple minutes left in our show, actually four, but we have two callers.
Oh, let's grab
I don't know how we're going to sneak that in. I'm going to try. Please, hi. You're live. Please give us your question as quickly as possible.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, because I wanted to turn my radio down. I'm calling because we have a lot of young people, including my daughter, who claim they're suffering from depression, anxiety.
Oh, my goodness.
I think it's because of social media and the nonsense that's going on with that, and these kids are just, you know, lost.
So hard on them.
She's 28, and I'm just wondering if it could also be a hormonal problem. A lot of these young people don't eat well. We know it's food and nutrition, but what could, and then I know your wellness by design. I mean, can we call to maybe get her evaluated so she can ask questions? What would you recommend? Is that your website, Wellness by Design? Because I was driving and I just pulled over.
Okay,
the Wellness by Design Project, or just by name, or my name, Carol Peterson. Peterson with all E's will get it. And Corinne's was CorinneHealth.com. And both of us have the, you can make appointments with us through our website if you'd like. And yes. You bring up very important things. We have stressors from the environment affecting our hormones. We have the lack of adequate nutrition, poor nutrition choices. We have poor digestive systems in some cases. You could be eating pretty well, but something's messed up your digestive tract. You need to look at that. Yeah. You want to add anything, Corinne?
Well, very, very quickly, this is a big question, and I really think that, Carol, we should address this in the future, in a future show, because it's so important what's happening to our young people and what's happening to them hormonally, and we're seeing it all the time. So what with your daughter, she has to reach out and want to help, because there's no practitioner that can do everything for her. She's going to want to do it for herself and that get the guidance of a very good practitioner who really understands hormonal balance and understands how this goes together with food, with detoxing, with hormones, with thyroid, et cetera, et cetera. So what, I'm sorry, but we have to go. I want to thank you so much for all of your participation in the show. It just makes so much more fun in the show when we have audience participation, and I really appreciate it. And I also appreciate my co-host, Carol Peterson. We have fun together, and every time we're together, I learned. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you so much. Thank you, listeners.
And we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this